Good morning, Wade.
Good morning, Sophie.
Now, can you tell us more about the situation of the Tasmanian Devils nowadays?
Yes, well, it's a little bit concerning. As you mentioned, 1996, the disease was first discovered, and what makes this disease very unique is it's contagious. So over the last 20 years, it's spread throughout the island of Tasmania, having a fairly significant impact on the wild population. It's estimated that we've lost about 85% of the wild devils in Tasmania, which obviously is a real concern. There's a few pockets on the west coast of Tasmania where the disease hasn't quite reached, but it appears, though, it's inevitable that it will reach these areas in time.
With the cancer, like you said, it's contagious, but have you been able to find how it all started and where it came from?
Yeah, well, that's a question that's difficult to answer. It's unknown at this stage. The first animal was noticed in 1996 in a national park called Mount William National Park in the northeast of Tasmania. It was photographed by a professional photographer called Christo Bars just by accident. So that rang alarm bells immediately, of course, and a lot of research has been done into the disease, into the cause of the disease, various things like that, but it's still largely unknown how this disease has come about.
So is there any way to prevent the disease from catching on in those little pockets that still remain disease-free?
Well, I think because it's contagious and it's spread from the eastern part of the island, spreading sort of westward, it just hasn't quite reached that west coastline yet. So I think it's going to inevitably reach those areas. What's going on in laboratories with scientists is they're trying to come up with a vaccine which may protect some of these healthy populations, but how successful they are with that vaccine and how practical it is to implement in the wild is quite, you know, questionable. So one of the things, you know, there's a number of measures that have been put in place to prevent the species from becoming extinct, and one of the major aspects of that is the captive breeding population.
And what is the difference in the population numbers between the wild and the captive bred?
Well, at the moment there's over 700 devils in what's called the insurance population, which is a national population that animals are held in zoos primarily. And it's called a metapopulation, so it's largely sort of controlled as one large group of animals whereby we can transfer animals between these different facilities to maintain genetic diversity. And the captive devils breed quite well in captivity, so that the insurance population's been extremely successful. We've even managed to send some surplus animals out of that population overseas as ambassadors for the species, which is really important. You know, the awareness side of things surrounding this is very important. But in relation to the wild population, you know, there's potentially, figures were estimated at about 150,000 devils prior to DFTD, and it's believed we've lost about 85%. So there's still a few animals out there. There's been no localised extinction as such, so where the disease has gone through certain areas or regions, it's taken out 80 to 90%, where some of the younger animals, which tend to avoid the contact because they're so small, they're the ones that seem to have survived, and therefore some of those, you know, those populations have just held on through the offspring.
Yeah. Now, it is getting to the breeding season for the devils. So what's happening at your centre to prepare for the breeding season?
Yeah, well, it's a busy time of the year. you're dead right. We're right in the middle of our breeding season at the moment. It generally commences late February and goes through March into early April. So as I said, we're sort of in the middle towards the end of it. What happens with this insurance population, we're not just breeding any male with any female. We're trying to maximise the genetic output. So the insurance population is managed by a stud book. Therefore, every year prior to the breeding season, we'll get recommendations on which male to pair with which female.
Proper matchmaking.
And yes, yes. We need to have a few backups because they're not always compatible. So sometimes a female won't accept a male and those sorts of things. So we need to have a few backup plans. But now it's certainly a busy time, a noisy time. Devil breeding, devil mating is quite noisy. It can be quite aggressive as well from male to male. So we've got to be really, really on the ball there to make sure that everything's running smoothly.
Yeah, and just to finish off, is there something that a person like me, a regular person, could do to help the devil situation?
Yeah, well, look, there's a couple of things, I guess. If you're in Tasmania, for visitors coming to Tasmania, one of the other main concerns for the Tasmanian devil is roadkill. They're an animal a nocturnal animal that sort of spends a lot of time on the road verge of a night because there's an easy food source there. And unfortunately, a lot of devils are killed on the road. So that if you are planning to come to Tasmania, either don't drive of a night or just be particularly careful, slow right down when you're driving of a night. For people that don't come to Tasmania, we have a program in place whereby people can get involved in helping out the animals, and we have an adoption program. That can be found on our website, and you can adopt an animal for a fee of $50 a year, and we keep you updated on that animal's progress through social media channels.
Brilliant. Well, Wade, thank you so much for talking to us on The Daily today.
Lovely. Thank you, Sophie.